it's Wendy.
Quite early for you, Wendy.
Oh, it's only 8:30.
Oh, 8:30, yes.
Not as bad as some of them.
Well, for Barbara, it's real early this morning.
Yeah, I'm actually in Hawaii this week,
yeah.
So 2 hours earlier.
Ouch.
Hi, Steve Metalis here.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And we have a full house for the IP.
Wow.
Still no one for the BC and the non-coms, is that
yes,
right?
That's right, yes.
Okay.
But I did get a reply from Captain Kleinman that she would be on the call. That's the non-coms and the BC normally, that's Maryland too.
Okay, we'll give them a couple more minutes then.
Wendy, I take it you're on the case of Thomas?
I think Thomas will be joining us as well.
David Maher joining.
Good morning, David.
Ring.
Good afternoon, Thomas here.
Hey, Thomas.
Hi, Glenn. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
And to the other aide on the call.
Thanks, Thomas. Okay, in the spirit of trying to keep these calls under an hour, I don't think we can spend more than 5 minutes waiting for people to join the call. So I am just going to start to kick things off. First of all, why don't we just discuss a brief agenda, which Glenn had given us a couple of elements for discussion, which was the approval of questions for the constituencies, discussion of the data elements, which we've already had quite a bit of on the list, the preliminary letter, which I don't think we've actually seen yet, so we won't be able to discuss that. But we, and also I had hoped to discuss calendaring in some more depth, but I don't think we've seen the calendar either, unfortunately.
Right, yeah, I'm afraid I was doing more travel this week than, or last week than I intended, and so things didn't quite get out the door the way they were supposed to. But I do have some updates on some of the issues that we discussed.
Okay, well, why don't we have as an initial item then just an update on the staff progress on various of the items we've discussed.
Hi, this is Kathy Kleinman just joining. Sorry to be late.
Good morning, Kathy.
And Jordan, I just wanted to, it's Marilyn.
Great. Okay, I just told everyone on the call that in order to keep these things short, I'm going to be more hasty about kicking things off for future reference.
Okay.
But we were just discussing an agenda, so I propose that we first get an update from the staff, then have any brief discussion we need to on the questions for constituencies. I think without the cover letter, we're not quite ready to send anything off yet. And then third, a discussion of the data elements, and fourth, discussion of the GAC-related questions. Anything else anyone would like to discuss?
And in the GAC-related questions, we can discuss the questions that we received?
Right, yeah, that's my intention, yeah. Or
right.
The GAC-related issues, I guess we could say.
Okay.
Okay, why don't we kick it off then with a brief update from Barbara in terms of the status of these various issues that staff's dealing with.
How long is this call today, maximum?
1 hour.
1 hour, okay.
As I was saying just a minute ago, I was doing more travel last week than I expected to, and so some of the things that I had hoped to have done by Friday or this morning didn't quite get out the door. So the calendaring and the cover letter are the two issues that are at the top of my list right now. But on other issues, I've made some progress on doing a history of the data elements by looking at the RFPs and what they include, and I'm going to carry that forward a little bit today into how the different registry agreements were arranged around what those RFCs request and require. And then I should have something on that by midweek to put out to everybody for review. Thomas did a really excellent job, a chart of the data elements. And yes, his font was very small, but you can change that in your own versions. and I think the comments on that have been very useful, and we can go ahead and discuss that later in the call. The other thing is the survey of the online registrars, the doing the top 20, what their websites show and how they present the request for who is information. That's underway and should in fact be completed by next Monday and hopefully sooner than that. But we have a couple of different staff people working on it, and I expect to have a report from them by the end of today that Dan Halloran and I are going to review and find out into a report that we can share with all of you. And I think that was it as far as assignments for staff.
Great. Barbara, let me ask, is it reasonable for us to expect that a week from today we'd be able to have the cover letter as well as the calendar done? Because that's a couple of our action items.
I think the cover letter I should be able to get done by midweek. I actually have a version of it that I sent to somebody to look at and was just waiting to hear back from them, and so that didn't happen over the weekend. But that's already in draft, and so I think we'll get that done fairly quickly. Now, somebody raised a good question, I think it was Steve, on the list about whether we wanted to cover a certain issue in the cover letter or make it part of the questions, and I thought that was a question that we should look at before I finalize the cover letter. And that had to do with whether the request that this be forwarded to their resellers, the registrar's questionnaire, whether it be forwarded to their resellers, do you want to make that part of the cover letter or embed it in the question themselves?
Right, yeah. Steve has raised that, we discussed it briefly on the last call as well.
And Barbara, I just wanted, you also saw the data element document that Steve provided, didn't you?
Maybe not.
It has some of the general information fields from the registry that I left out because I believe they were irrelevant for our work.
Well, I saw the email that Steve sent that sort of detailed four issues that he had with how it was put together, but I didn't see like a replacement chart. Was there one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was an attachment.
Okay, I just
to that.
Missed it. That's all. I didn't.
Okay, great. Well, we can pick that up in the discussion of the data elements.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I see it.
Okay. Does anyone have any other questions for Barbara?
Could you explain to me what that calendaring is? Because I wasn't on the last call, and I'm kind of having trouble for understanding what this is all about.
Yeah, I think that just everyone would like to see a visual display of the calendar showing when we're expecting certain items to be completed and what that means for producing some kind of summary report for the March meeting and how the work progresses after that. Like, what are the time frames that we're trying to fit into? And that's, I think, what
is that focused
in calendaring?
Yeah, is it focused on I can stuff work, or is it focused on all the work that has to be done?
On all the work that has to be done.
Okay, so is that having some kind of effect on the timetable we have decided on? Or
no,
do we have decided
change.
On a timetable?
Well, that's just it. We had
really
proposed a timetable, and then at the on the council call, it was recognized that the timetable envisioned in the P process wasn't sufficient for a PDP that involved a lot of data gathering.
Correct.
And so we were proposing longer time periods, and council didn't have a problem with that, but wanted to get a sense of whether even what we were proposing at that time was adequate for what we were trying to accomplish.
Right, and the secondary goal of that was to harmonize the schedules of the various task forces
right.
to a certain extent. So it would be useful to see the three task forces' schedules laid side by side.
Right.
Okay. So we will have a new timeline sometime after the calendaring is done. Is that correct?
Right, yeah. After the intention
okay.
is after we see this from Barbara and have a chance to think and for staff to maybe provide some input as to how best to harmonize the schedules that we could adjust our schedule in accordance with that.
Okay, great. Because I already got a request from the registrar because he saw that we will need all the input until the 15th, so I can go back to them and tell them that that's not the time frame they have to answer the question.
Yeah, that's no longer realistic given that we haven't yet sent out some
yes,
of the requests
it's
for information.
Pit, so.
Okay, any other questions for Barbara? Okay, great. So let's move to a brief discussion of the questions for constituencies. The one outstanding issue is the one that Steve raised, whether we should ask registrars to forward the questionnaire as part of the, I believe, second. I have to pull up the list now. But the question relating to resellers in the registrar's questionnaire or whether it should be part of the cover letter. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
This is Steve. I don't feel strongly about it. Whatever, I mean, it'd be fine to put it in the cover letter, maybe more appropriate there. Just want to make sure that doesn't fall through the cracks somewhere.
Sure, yeah. Now, as I think about it, it seems to make more sense to me to include it in the cover letter, but
I would agree with that. Just I think that if you embed it in one of the questions, it's likely to get overlooked as a request you're making on that.
Right.
Answer the door.
So, assuming there no one has any objections, that's what we'll proceed
okay.
with there. And has everyone had a chance to look at the final list of questions for registrars and the other constituencies, and are we happy with them? And once we get the cover letter done, we're just going to send those out. Great. Okay. We'll move then to a discussion of data elements. I think maybe it's most useful to have Thomas and then Steve maybe walk us through their two charts and just sort of outline the work that they've done so far, and we can see if we can come to some conclusions about whether or not Steve's work is important or, as Thomas puts it, less relevant. So why don't, Thomas, can you just kick off and run us through your chart briefly?
Yeah, I can try to do so.
Sure.
Basically, I looked at the REA and most of the registry agreements, appropriate dependencies on attachments, and try to isolate those data elements which, one, were at least remotely relevant for, or seemed to be remotely relevant for this task force, and two, which weren't really very specific to some TLDs, or data elements were specific to TLDs. I put in a footnote and noted something like sponsored restricted with additional TLD-specific data elements. All the sponsored restricted TLDs, for instance, have data elements that are that relate to the eligibility verification of registrants, and these data elements are hardly relevant for policy making. Likewise, I ignored the difference between name server IP addresses and name server names because it's really marginal and more or less a question of beauty. And I ignored any organization fields that some TLDs have and some TLDs have not with contacts. I finally ignored one more thing that I forgot now. I also ignored trademark information, which, as far as I see this from my footnotes, applies to both .info and .pro. And I think that Steve basically took up this these things I ignored and added them for the registry agreements. Mostly, I think your collaborator missed one of the trademark information fields.
Great, okay. And then, Steve, does that summarize the changes that you've made, or are there other things that you've added as well?
Well, yeah, I made a few points. One is that I think .name is not in the chart. It's actually not in my chart either. So we need to make sure to put that in. And of course, they have a multi-tiered system, but I think probably the best thing to do is to list what is available, what's the most comprehensive list of data elements available. But we'll need to figure out how to display that. There are, I think, some discrepancies as well, some of which are in my memo and some of which are in Thomas's later memo, places where the appendix to the registry agreement is somewhat self-contradictory about whether a data element is or is not in the whois output. Perhaps we could just ask those registries to confirm for us, what's in and what's not. And then my last point was that while it's true that the registry whois is important, I think a lot of what is motivating this this exercise is concern about what's available in the registrar output from Common Net, and I just think we should think about some way to highlight that too, because I think we may have a problem of people being somewhat daunted by this big chart, and we want to make sure we get at least some meaningful feedback from them. So that was my last suggestion, which is really kind of a presentation suggestion. So I guess to summarize it, it's to we need to add .name. We probably should ask some of the registries for help in making sure that we've got the list of data elements right for Biz Co-op and Museum, for example. Then a presentation question on how to highlight or mark out that the first column is the registrar. Registrar
who is in Common. Thomas here. I would add one thing to what Steve calls the presentation issue here. I think that maybe many concerns are originally motivated by registrar who is and by the data displayed there, but it should be noted that the data displayed by registries are, with the exception of .com, .net, and those parts of .org which may still be in transition. I don't know if there is any, if they have finished the transition. In all these cases, what registries are publishing is a superset of what the registrars have. So to the extent that we have a concern with a registrar publishing certain information, that concern certainly also applies to registries and should be considered. And the registries are publishing more information than what registrars have in their whois service. This concerns in particular registrar and email address, phone number, and fax number, plus the entire billing contact, which is collected but does not need to be displayed by the registrar. To the extent to which there are these additional data elements, there is certainly the question what justifies this additional publication. There's a policy issue of harmonizing these and removing unnecessary data elements from registry whois. So I would disagree that we should focus or should lead people to focus just on the RAA data elements, but it's really what elements need to be available in whois, what elements are available in whois, and what do constituencies think about this, and, well, if it's just the registry, that's one place left to fix in some cases, maybe.
Actually, I have a question about that, Jordan.
Go ahead.
Am I getting cue?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. Anyone else have any comments or questions? Kathy, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
I just want to be sure that I understood, Thomas, what and this may be a question, Barbara, that you may know, you may need to go back and get clarification for. Thomas, were you suggesting that in the SIC, I got to get my language right here, in the SIC registries of the new GTLD registries, you were suggesting that the data did not need to be in the SIC registry, but instead it should continue to be in the I understand you may have objection to it being displayed at all, but I'm just trying to understand that you were suggesting it did not need to be in the SIC registry. It should be only in the registrar whois.
I was suggesting that data which is not even in the registrar whois has a big question mark attached to it, to the extent to which it is in the registry whois. We have such data elements.
But you were referring to the SIC registries, is that right?
Yeah. SIC registry currently publishes data about the registrant and the billing contact, which is not available or does not need to be available from registrars. According to the agreements. Which it does not need. I'm not saying that some registrars may quite well choose to publish that information where they are allowed to, but registrars have no obligation to publish some of the data elements that SIC registries have an obligation to publish. This brings up a number of interesting issues with regards to consent, with regard to information, and it brings up, the general issue, why is this different there?
But my second question, really, I think maybe for Barbara, so there's the RAA, and then there are the amendments.
Right.
And I was getting a little confused. I think I sent you a question about your chart along that line.
I don't recall a question along that line.
It was. Maybe I wasn't very clear. Sorry. It was along the line of, if something is required in the RAA, is it superseded by what is in the specific SIC?
There's two things going on here. First of all, there's the appendices to the RAA, which are unique for each.
Right.
Not unique, but they're distinct for each registry.
Right.
And that's what Thomas was trying to capture in his chart and what Steve elaborated on in his.
Right.
Those are the appendices to the registry agreements.
Yes. These were the whois attachments and appendices to the registry agreements. I think you were talking about the
amendments to the
TLD specific agreements that registrars sign in addition to the RAA. And to the extent I checked these, there were no modifications on whois in these amendments that I would have found. There may things be hidden elsewhere, and I would welcome input from you guys on that, but as far as I know, we have the RAA and the registry agreements themselves. I confess that I did not check the individual registry agreements, so if something's hidden there, we don't have it right now.
Oh, right, Thomas. So we're the extra requirements that a registry might negotiate with registrars.
Yeah, just as a sort of point of how the actual process goes, that generally speaking, the registrar agreement, the individual registrar agreements are part of the registry agreement with ICANN, and they're not subject to modification on a per registrar basis.
Right.
So registrars really can't, the registries and registrars really can't negotiate specific terms. And so they should all be the same, basically, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, so, Kathy, you had a point or question.
Let's see, on different things. In terms of highlighting .com and .net, I'd have to agree with Thomas says. I'm not sure that's where all of us are coming in from. I think that's definitely the concerns of some. Some of us are here to thinking, you know, about the other registries with concerns about that. So I'm not sure why we'd highlight one over the other. And then on another point, I heard a little bit of discussion about presentation and trying to make this clear to other people. I think Thomas's chart, I think there are elements we could pull from Steve's chart, but it's really hard to read. Thomas's chart, I think, comes off clearer and prioritizes more on the issues that I think we're all concerned about across the board, rather than kind of, Steve, forgive me for the word, kitchen sink. I mean, it's great to have a comprehensive list, and I'm sure I will certainly keep it and use it. But for presentation purposes, I think Thomas's focuses a little more clearly on what it is, you know, people need to compare more quickly. I think more people will read Thomas's chart.
Yeah, let me just jump in and provide a thought, which is that we may find it most useful to end up with two charts, one for our own purposes, and I think having the exhaustive list of data is probably useful in that regard. The more, you know, we want to know everything that's in who is, and it may even be useful to look at a few ccTLD outputs just to get a sort of sense of the landscape. But when we, for purposes, one of the additional purpose that we're trying to use this for is to send it as part of the cover letter to the other constituencies so that they can react to the use of the various data elements. And to that extent, I think something even simpler than Thomas's chart is probably in order, something that maybe just has a listing of the of a set of data elements that we think it would be useful to get comment on. And I would imagine those are anything that we consider that we might want to, that we might, I mean, I can't, there's no reason I can think of right now why we would exclude any data element from that list, but I'm open to conversation on that point. Any thoughts? So I guess what I'm proposing is just to have a second chart that just lists the data elements without necessarily a correspondence to what registry agreements they're in or whatever. And to the extent we can consolidate things into sort of easier to read buckets, that would probably be a little bit useful. I could try to.
So it's kind of a composite. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's sort of just a I mean, basically the idea is just to provide a superset listing of all of the data fields anywhere.
With some type of notation that this isn't actually what any particular who is returning.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the sum of what all of them return.
Exactly. Yep.
I think that makes sense.
Any other comments?
Well, just 2 points. One,
sure.
One, does it make sense, and I guess I could direct this to you, Jordan, does it make sense to have the registries look at this and make sure we've got it right?
Yeah, I'm glad to circulate this to the registries, and we can probably expect a reasonably quick response from them.
And the other point, of course, is we've got to include .name in here.
Yep.
Maybe you could ask that name to fill in there.
or we could do it. I mean, well.
Yeah, I'd like, so why don't we, I propose two sort of action items here. One is the one that I'll take, which is to try to create the sort of composite, easy-to-read one, and we'll, as a first draft of that at least, and then we can get some more comments. And then secondly, if either Steve or I guess not secondly, before I do that, if either Steve or Thomas could volunteer to update a chart to include the .name data elements, that would be useful.
The problem with .name is that including that in a chart which lists the public data elements of other registries, well, might be confusing because, okay, we could just compare same things to same things and could take .name's public who is. We could take their entire who is. I'm tempted to suggest that we leave out that name and flag that as being different on the registry level, significantly different on the registry level.
Well, it may even be useful to list in maybe a couple different columns or rows. No, columns. different elements of .name available at different layers, just to give people a sense of that.
I can circulate that later on.
Pardon?
I can circulate that later on.
Okay, great. Okay, so it sounds like we have a few action items there. Since we don't have the rest of our cover letter, if we get this resolved this week as well, then we'll be in good we'll be at least in as good a shape as we can be in for our call next week. Okay, great. So let's move on then, if no one else has any additional comments, to discussion of the GAC-related issues, including, why don't we start with just an introduction of how we recently received some correspondence from the GAC, and maybe sort of how we arrived at that point, and then we can have a discussion about it. So
Barbara, and I'm actually not sure who requested the information. Okay, there we go.
And I just sent a heads-up email to Robin and to Suzanne, because Suzanne's the new chair taking over for Robin, saying that welcome to Suzanne, and there were three task forces, and I thought that it would be that they would be hearing from us at some point in the future. That's all I did.
Okay, great.
And as by magic, they sent us their questionnaire.
Yeah. Well, great.
that part was easy.
Yeah, apparently. Let me just take a quick look. So
it looks like they actually cover quite a bit of
Oh, yeah. I thought there was a lot of overlap or consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do we think, I guess, with that in mind, are there other things that we need to go that we want to try to get asked in addition to their questionnaire, or?
This is Kathy.
Yeah, go ahead, Kathy. Anyone else for the queue?
Thomas.
Thomas.
Yeah, me too, please. Thomas as well.
Kathy, Thomas, Tom.
And Steve.
Okay.
I'm glad to know that there is an avenue, kind of a formal avenue of communicating with the GAC and with the Who Is Committee. As I look through the questionnaire, I'm not sure, I don't think it excludes the kinds of questions that we were talking about last week, the kind of detailed questions about privacy laws, about anonymity issues. In fact, all five of the questions, I don't think they're completely subsumed here. And that's because when I look at kind of the overall introduction that's given, it says that the GAC, you know, is willing and interested in kind of soliciting the public policy issues. But yet, the kinds of questions that we're talking about are kind of subsumed at the very end in very general terms. I'd like to check and see, and I'd be willing to work with other people on this task force to do it, to go back to the GAC and see if they'd be receptive to sending out some more detailed questions on the privacy laws, which we know from presentations in Montreal and Tunisia, governments are interested in sharing. So I still think there's a real opportunity here to go back for more detailed information.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Thomas?
Well, similar point. I don't see much that would help us to come to a better privacy policy here, and I do believe that we will have to ask more detailed questions. Question A, does your country have national laws or policies on privacy and data protection that affect who is data availability? Yes, please specify classes. One line is a very general question and really won't help us much in understanding what kinds of laws and policies countries have there. So, of course, it may provide us with a good starting point, but I would very much suggest that we ask the detailed questions.
Great, thanks. And Tom?
Well, thank you. There's not much more to say, actually. I mean, the only thing I want to point out is that the GAC questionnaire is pointed to the use of what the government people are using right now, and what we're talking about is the privacy point of it. So we really should take that opportunity and ask detailed question on it, because the whole question is just asks one question in that regard, and that's the last one, and that's a little bit, well, not really extensive enough for my feeling at least. So I would like to echo what the other two speakers just said, that we should go and ask the detail. I mean, after all, that the governments are there for to provide us with information about their local laws. So if you have the possibility, we shouldn't just dump it and say, well, there's just one question and that's enough for us. So we should really go after the privacy part a little bit better.
Okay, thanks. And Steve?
Yes. Well, I disagree with the last three speakers. We're not being paid by the word here, and there may be more information forthcoming from this general question than we would retrieve from the extensive set of interrogatories that Kathy drafted that ask about a lot of issues that are not relevant to who is. I think the other part of that we should take away from this GAC questionnaire is the fact, at least I think it's a fact, that they've received very few responses, although the questionnaire has been out there for about 3 months now. And again, I think that suggests that they have a limited capacity to elicit information from GAC members or from different countries. I mean, they may well have more capacity to do that than we would do, but it's limited, and we shouldn't have too high expectations about what they're going to get back. And I think that because that capacity is limited, we probably shouldn't try to we have to be mindful about straining that capacity, if you will, or over relying on that capacity. And I think the question E here basically elicits the type of information that we're looking for, and that would be relevant to our inquiry, rather than casting a much broader net, as the draft questions in front of us would do.
Jordan, can I get in the queue?
Thomas,
and then,
to directly
and
response to Steve.
Ooh. Okay, so hold on a second. We have Marilyn. We'll have Thomas directly respond to Steve, then Marilyn, and...
Kathy.
And me as well, please.
And Tom. And we, just watching our hour-long call, we have about five more minutes we can spend discussing.
Jordan, before you take responses, I'd really like to provide a fact that I think might be helpful.
Okay, sure. Then the Marilyn and then Thomas.
I've spoken... There is a continuum of privacy laws that the OECD has put together, and David Ferris is just back from holiday, and I have a call with him later today to find out what he knows about it. And it seems to me that, you know, while that's not a lot of countries, it includes developed countries and would be a place to start. And perhaps rather than beating ourselves and everybody else up, we might try to get that very quickly and see if that would be helpful as a baseline, get us launched at least with, 23 to 28 countries.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn. I think that actually if we could, any external data that's already been put together, obviously, is I think, going to be very helpful. And I think some on an earlier call was mentioned that Epic might have some sort of compilation of privacy laws as well. So
just let them know where to send it. They've got volumes. They'll even send one to every task force member. It's published. It's published and it's distributed under a grant. So
great. Okay. So why don't we move to Thomas?
Just as a follow-up to Steve, this questionnaire is presented to those who respond to it as a contribution to the ICANN Who Is workshop in Carthage. That's something different from as input for current policy development in the GNSO. And, well, I would guess that a questionnaire which comes there and says, we need input, we need to understand the framework within which we are policy, may get a different kind of attention and a different kind of response than a questionnaire which says we generally want to understand some things for some workshop, but without a specific application in mind. So it may, even with answers to question E, which we haven't seen, it may be quite a valuable activity to go out to the GAC, reach out with the specific purpose of policy making, and ask for input.
Great. And Kathy?
What Thomas says makes a lot of sense. I also just want to refer to everybody to Suzanne Sen's email, and where she is definitely not ruling out additional questions. I think it's really interesting where she says, please let me know if you have any questions or anticipate any specific requests that WHOIS task forces, you know, might have for the GAC. What we heard in Tunisia was that this was, I believe, the first questionnaire that had gone out to GAC. And there were these kind of mixed responses. I think what we might be able to do, and perhaps Suzanne would be receptive to this, is to look at some of the responses that have come in, if any have, and use them to help frame an additional set of questions that kind of use them as a stepping stone to frame an additional set of questions that might, what Thomas said, have a much faster, they'll be much narrower and hopefully have a much faster time frame for response because they're really based on kind of facts, you know, what are your laws? It doesn't, if Suzanne is not ruling out that possibility, I don't think we as a task force should be doing that. It sounds like she's receptive to hearing, so I think we should be talking with her.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. I want to get back in the queue, please.
Okay, so we have Tom and then Marilyn.
Yeah, I just want to go back to what Steve said, and I'm kind of feeling uncomfortable that we assume that GAC is not able to do certain things. So as I read the questions Kathy put together, there are five questions, and all of them relate more or less to the same laws they might have or might not have. So I don't think that that will put them in too much of a strain to answer to a certain question. So before we start to presume what the GAC might think of certain things, why don't we just go ahead and ask them? And if they are not responsive to it, we still can go back and say, well, okay, that might be too much, five questions, go down to one or two. But I have a feeling that the most people in the task force at least want to have more information about certain things regarding privacy laws in different states. And I want to say what's written in that description of FERC. It's document examples of existing local privacy laws in regard to this planned transmittal of data. So that is in our to-dos, and I have no idea why I should not do it.
Okay, thanks. Tom and Marilyn.
I think we are wasting a huge amount of time in a non-productive exercise, and I don't support the approach to dealing with the GAC, but I will, in the interest of trying to move us forward, offer a recommendation. I think we should put together a short, succinct statement to go to council that describes what this task force thinks it needs to ask of the GAC, why we think we need to ask it of the GAC, and do it in a way that it can be, if council agrees, combined with other requests from the two other task forces, so the GAC gets one request. And I think we ought to do that post haste so that we can discuss it at our council meeting.
Right. When is the next council meeting scheduled?
It's sometime next week, I assume. Is Glenn on?
Yes, I am. I haven't had any news from Bruce.
Okay. So
can I get a cue for that?
So Jordan, I think we normally require 14 days notice, but may not. It was supposed to be next week.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess we'll hopefully hear something soon. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know why we should refer this subject and this question to the council. I mean, I think we should be able to deal with that ourselves. I mean, it seems that the people are not really agreeing on the one thing, you know, but maybe we could work it out for ourselves. I don't see a reason why we should concern the council with that. The only thing that will lead to is that it will be delayed for some time. But I don't really see a benefit out of it. I mean, we have that description of work, and it's pretty clear on what we have to do. And we already decided that we will ask GAC, and I don't know why we should withdraw that now. I mean, they're expecting it, and as far as I know, at least from the German GAC representative, he's waiting for that request to answer it. So, I, as a council member as well, wouldn't like to have that on the council level.
Yeah, Marilyn, let me just ask you. Marilyn, let me just ask you: is the motivation behind sending it to the council just to coordinate the questions from the various task forces, or do you think we'll get better responses if it comes from the council as opposed to?
I think there are two things. I think that we should, at a minimum, coordinate with the other task forces, and Barbara can do that very quickly, without even going to council, of course, as the staff person. So I think that's one thing, so that there's a uniform. So that there's a single request that comes to GAC, or at least GAC knows you're going to get, this is part one of a three-part request, or part one of a two-part request.
Right.
That, I think, is easily done. I think that the larger question, Jordan, of how council believes that task forces should interact with the GAC needs to be understood, because we have more task forces than just who is.
Yeah, you think, Barbara, can I...
That? Yeah, go ahead, Barbara, and then Kathy.
We did address this last week a little bit. Maybe it wasn't with this task force. So I think
it was, and we flag it as for a council discussion
right.
on the next call.
I mean, the concern here is that we want to be considerate of how the GAC is perceived as part of ICANN's overall policymaking process. And if we set up a situation where we make a number of requests for them for information and they are either slow to respond or unable to respond because the membership aren't the right people to be asking the questions of, or they provide responses that are helpful but not complete, that has within it the dangers of setting up the GAC to be perceived as less than effective than we might want them to be perceived. And I think what Marilyn is proposing that I agree with is that we find a way to I can't come up with quite the right word, but that our interactions with the GAC should be structured in a way that are mutually successful. And that it's not to our benefit, to anyone's benefit, to send them a bunch of questionnaires, however well coordinated, that they are unable to effectively deal with. I mean, they've sent out a questionnaire to their own constituency that, you know, to their own membership that they're having trouble getting responses to. And it is framed in terms of participating within the ICANN policy process. So I'm not sure that we would be much more successful by sending another questionnaire at this time. One thing to think about is maybe to to follow up with the people who are responding to their questionnaire with our more detailed questions. But again, I it's like you don't want to the same way you don't want to send to the constituencies too many. The GNSO constituencies too many requests for feedback. You don't want to do that to the GAC either, because it will set up a situation where both sides are perceived as being less effective than they want to be.
Okay, thanks, Barbara. Kathy, do you have a comment?
Oh, yeah. I don't fully, since I'm not on the council now, I don't fully understand all of the issues surrounding the GAC council relations. But if we wait till they're solved, we're going to be way past the end of this task force. That's a whole evolutionary issue that needs to come around. But I don't think it fits into what this task force is doing. I also think that the questions that we're asking the GAC are very much along the lines of what they're going to want to answer. I said in the last meeting that if we don't get questions out to them soon, they might be offended because they know what our tasks and milestones are, and now we hear that the German GAC representative is actually waiting. The questions that I drafted are very much along the lines of what are your laws, and, you know, tell us, provide us the input. The question also includes, you know, are there people in your country even better able to answer these questions? The number four, do you have a data protection agency or officer? If they provide us that contact information, we can go to that person. if they're not the right person to answer, presumably they will tell us, but they are the GAC representative sent from their country. They are the official representative. These are questions they're in a position to either answer or not answer. I really think it's important to get the questions out to them, because going back to our initial task force meetings, we kind of all agreed that GAC has an even longer timeline than anyone else. If we don't get the questions out to them soon, we're not going to get answers back that we can use.
Yeah.
Plus, Thomas here, could I get in the queue?
Yeah, I'm going to make a quick comment, and then Thomas, and we're actually all running out of time, so we're going to have to keep this relatively quick. But the comment that I'll make is I think we're not hearing a lot of, to the extent that we're hearing willingness to ask questions, I think that there's widespread agreement that we should do it relatively quickly. I think Marilyn suggested that we would try to put together questions as quickly as possible as well. So I definitely think it's in our interest to do that. I think we may, you know, as I indicated on the last call, we may want to winnow the list slightly just to make sure that we're getting who is specific responses as opposed to general information about privacy. I mean, in my mind, getting general information about privacy laws within the country leaves us to do a lot of interpretation that I'm not sure I'm qualified to do, and I'll leave it up to the rest of you whether or not you think you know, you're qualified to interpret the laws of various countries. But I would very much like opinions on laws relating, privacy laws that may specifically relate to who is, which I think question E of the questionnaire gets close to, but there may be some additional questions or nuance that's missing from that general interrogatory. So I think it's probably worthwhile doing two things. Number one is, as Kathy suggested, maybe asking Suzanne for, if it's possible to share the surveys that they've received so far, to look at the responses received to date and see if there are more specific questions that we can ask, or if it seems like the strategy suggested of contacting those specific representatives might make sense. And then B, you know, I think it would be worthwhile at least to get some sort of opinion from counsel as to, you know, a way to coordinate this and make the most effective use possible of our interaction with the GAC. And it may be that we won't get a satisfactory response, but I can't imagine counsel's going to leave us in limbo and essentially say, well, you can't do anything for 6 months while we try to figure this response out. There will likely be some sort of interim mechanism, so we may want to wait until after that next council meeting to ship it off anyways, but I would advise that we try to get a narrow set of questions, maybe shaped around the responses already received, over the next week. Thomas?
Well, if the council leaves us in limbo for 6 months, I would suggest we reduce the frequency of conference calls. Anyway, back on the topic.
Second.
Most important point, this is not just an exercise in learning about laws that are specific about who is, but it is an exercise about laws that apply to who is, and that is a different thing. Even if there is no law which explicitly says, do not rob registry operators, there may be a general law, do not rob people. So we want to ask for the general laws if they apply. That's a key point. And actually, I got the point why I wanted to be in the queue originally.
Yeah, Thomas, just to clarify my comments.
I've got it back.
Okay, sure. I don't disagree with what you were saying at all. I just think we do want to make sure we get laws that apply to who is, not laws that just relate to privacy in general.
Okay, I think we are approaching. Let's say we are not interested in specific laws in other regions like video lending, privacy, stuff like that. I think U.S. has specific law on that, and that's certainly uninterested, but general privacy law certainly is interesting. The other point I was going to make was about procedures and interactions with the GAC, and I'm afraid I made that point earlier too, and it is basically, before going to the GAC, we must understand what information we want. We need a list of questions, and if GAC believes this list is too long, please let them shorten it. Let them shorten it together with us. Let's consult them. But first, we need to agree on a list of questions. And, well, it's 55 minutes in the call, and we have mostly been talking about whether we should agree on a list of questions. That's no good use of all our time.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think we have a general agreement that we need to the extent we're going to ask questions, we do need to agree what those questions are in the relatively near future. I don't think we are going to have time to work that on this call. But I will, as a proposed path forward, drop a quick note to Suzanne and ask for if it's possible for her to share any of the existing submissions to the questionnaire at this point. And if so, that may help us inform some of our question making, as Kathy suggested earlier. And otherwise, I think perhaps we should revisit Kathy's questions, see if there's any tweaks we can make to them, and have a more discussion with the aim of accepting them as a list of questions that we're interested in getting the answers to on next week's call.
Could we agree that tweaking these questions is an exercise to be done via email before next week's call? So any input on specific questions, any suggestions to strike specific questions with reasons for striking them should come in, say, by Monday. Let's say by Friday this week. So we can continue this quickly and don't have to use the call to go through stuff which can just as well be done by email.
Yeah, I'm certainly in agreement with that approach.
Let me
so
see
can
if
we
can
agree on the Friday deadline?
Yep.
Propose changes to the questions?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, yep. Now that includes the changes that have already been proposed to the questions, right?
Yeah, certainly, Steve, your comments should be considered to... everyone should consider Steve's comments as they make further revisions.
And Barbara, I'm sure you will do this anyway, but could we just ask that, because you have calls on the next day with the other task forces, can you ascertain whether they will have any questions for the GAC at all?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. So that's our last issue, and we're a minute away from being an hour into this call. Does anyone have any final last-minute items of business that they want to conduct? And if not...
Jordan, I think we had one loose end from last call, which was that you were going to ask Tom Keller about preparing questions for the CCs.
Oh, you're right, and I'm horrible and totally forgot to do so. Oh, but he's here, fortunately, on this call.
Well, I don't want to put him on the spot, but maybe you can follow
up. And I've lost track of task forces as well. This is not the task force that Elizabeth Portineau spoke to?
That's correct. She did not.
Oh. Then I should probably report, because I can't remember, Barbara, if we posted Elizabeth offered.
Yeah, Glenn posted Elizabeth.
Okay. Just to remind everybody that the center is doing a questionnaire, and I would assume we could get a copy of the blank questionnaire.
Yeah, I'll request that of Elizabeth.
Center's doing a questionnaire for who? For the center CCTLDs, primarily Europe, not only, but primarily Europe.
Okay. When does their questionnaire go out? Or is it out?
I think it's out because, I'm struggling with my limited memory here, but I'm under the impression that they intend to have a report. Barbara, isn't it March?
I think so. I'm looking to see if I can find it quickly, but I'm not finding it.
The one thing people need to be very sensitive to is that Centra does not represent all of the CCTLDs. It represents primarily Europe, and so that's why it's important to go to the CC launching group or to the...
They actually Centra plans to start our survey probably 16 January and close it 2 weeks later. And then they're going to take 2 weeks to write a report.
And that's to the CCNSOs? I mean, to the CCs?
To the center members.
Center members.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will try to get a hold of that blank questionnaire. Is it January 15th you said that they're planning on having it together?
January 16th, yeah.
Yeah, so it may not be prepared yet. But if to the extent that it is, that may be useful to provide some basis for us to put together they may have some insight there that might be useful. But Tom, we did discuss briefly on the last call that it would be useful to put together an initial set of questions to be posed to the CCNSO launching group and or center and or any other big group of CCTLDs we might want to send it to. and we'd hope that you might be able to draft an initial set of questions. Is that something, not to put you on the spot, but you might have some interest in putting together?
Sure. No problem. I will do that.
Okay, great. So
I
we'll
can't promise that I will do it till tomorrow, but...
Yeah, no problem. If you could have it by the next call, then we could have some initial discussion.
Just a general question. How many questions do you think would be appropriate? I mean, do we really want to have a whole set of it? Or maybe two or three, or I just don't want to get into the same discussions again as we
Yeah, I mean, I think the smallest number of questions possible to get the information we need is probably what we should
shoot for. Okay. Mini-max.
And Barbara, I just would raise the same point. The other two task forces are thinking about going to the CC, so...
Right, yeah, I'll see what we can do to coordinate all of that activity.
Yep. Thanks for the reminder, Steve.
Sure. And when is our next call?
So the next call, I was about to say, currently is planned for a week from today at the same time. Does that work for everyone? I think we have, assuming we get all these action items, then we'll have quite a bit to discuss, I believe.
Just a question. Marilyn, is it possible to move the call up a little earlier? Well, Marilyn, Wendy, everybody on the West Coast.
I can't start a call before... It really started before. And that makes it, what, 8:30 on the West Coast?
Yeah, that's correct.
It's not a problem for me. Yeah, I don't have a problem with whenever you schedule a call, because others are doing it at different times.
Are you thinking of a specific time, Barbara?
Right, 11 o'clock.
I mean, not Barbara, Kathy.
Right. 11 o'clock would be much better for me. Things have changed a little bit with the new year, but I wasn't sure if Maryland's conflicts have changed.
They haven't. I can certainly change it next week and just miss part of my other standing internal meeting. And since it sounds like next week is going to be a robust work item, could we perhaps change it for just next week and see if that would at least help for next week?
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So why don't we do that next week? We'll start at 11. And it sounds like if we get tentatively, we may need a little bit more than an hour based on the number of work items we have outstanding right now. So maybe keep the same end time, so an hour and a half call. Although subject to seeing, I'll see by Friday what submissions we actually have and whether or not there's actually going to be a lot to talk about.
And I've got one last question to raise, and if it's out of left field, just tell me and we'll do it next week. But Marilyn mentioned an OECD privacy report. We've got the EPIC materials. The question is whether it be Barbara or someone else, who should be collecting all of these? Because as we get them, we should start forwarding them on, I think.
Yeah. I'm actually getting the OECD report today. I mean, downloading the PDF.
Great.
I'll have that one.
Okay, so you'll be the repository of the privacy law information?
I mean, it makes the most sense to do it that way, so why don't we go ahead and say yes, and what we'll probably do is set up an online archive, but
if
many things as can be shared online. The OECD one, I don't think we'll get permission to put online. Letting you know.
You don't?
They're charging for it, so.
Oh. I didn't realize this was one of the chargeable documents.
Yeah.
Too bad.
I mean, I'll send a request to them that I think they're probably going to say, you know, that they want it distributed through them for a certain amount of time, and then they probably would authorize it to put it online, but I don't think we're going to get that right now.
Well, it's more, mine was more a general question.
The more general question, I think, yes, I should be the repository for these things. But.
Right, so Kathy, if you could motivate EPIC to send a copy to Barbara, that would be great.
Okay.
Kathy, when you check with them, I know it's available in printed form. Can you check and see if it is available in online form?
I will, and I hadn't even thought about the idea of posting all these things, so that makes a lot of sense. I will find out both.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks, everyone, and we will plan on reconvening at 11 a.m. Eastern Time a week from today.
Wait, so the cover letter and changes to the questions will all be posted by Friday?
That's the idea,
and as well as maybe a provisional calendar that we can discuss as well.
Great. And 11 o'clock next Monday.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.